Tonight, Brother Kenneth Hill, currently the minister of the Kissimmee, Church of Christ, Kissimmee, Florida. So thankful to have him on the call tonight. He'll come in his own way with a topic, When They Heard This. So you might be Acts chapter 2 is where he'll be coming from. All right, Brother Kenneth.
I want to thank our dear brother, Tommy Brooks, for the invitation to this nationwide gospel meeting call. I love the fact that our goal is to help people to get a better understanding of God's word so they can save their souls. I also want to say greetings to you here from the Kissimmee Church of Christ. We're located not too far from Disney World, less than 10 minutes from Walt Disney World. If you're ever in the Orlando, Kissimmee area, feel free to stop by here at the Kissimmee Church of Christ. Certainly you can search for us on our Facebook page. And, of course, you can just search Kissimmee Church of Christ, and you will see our meeting times, and also you will actually see the physical address of where we're located at. My subject of this evening is When They Heard This, coming from Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. In Acts chapter 2, we see Peter here preaching his first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And while he's preaching his first gospel sermon, he's going to talk about two kings. The first king he's going to talk about is that of King Jesus, and the second king that he's going to speak of is that of King David. And he's going to do a comparison and contrast between the two. So we're going to begin our lesson here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. The scripture reads here, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." It's important to note before we go any further that who Peter is talking about. As I said before, he's talking about Jesus. Now notice in this verse, again, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he talks about Jesus being a man that was approved of God. And let me tell you, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to preach the gospel, if you're going to do his will, you have to be a man that of a human being, a man approved of God. And one of the things that you can do to be approved of God is study his word. Now notice here, in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and the verse is 15. And reading, of course, from the King James Version, notice what Paul states here. Paul states here, study. Now notice when you read that, there is no period there. Because you have to do more. Study to show. Notice there's no period there. So when you study, it's not just to show off. But it says study to show thyself. It's not only just to show yourself, but it's also to show others. But what are you supposed to study? Why do you have to study? But here the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed to not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, Jesus was a man that was approved of God. And we, if we're going to serve God, if we want to make it to God's heaven, we have to be approved as well. And as I say, one of the things that you can do is to study. So, and study his word. And so, one of the things also, as we look back in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22, we see once again that Jesus was a man that was approved of God. But notice here, when he was approved of God, the Bible says he was approved among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Now notice, when he was approved of by God, but he also proved to be the very Son of God. How did he prove to be the very Son of God? By the life that he lived and by the things that he did. He demonstrated. Everything that we do when we live this life, there needs to be a demonstration about who the Jesus we claim to serve. And it reminds me of what Paul was speaking of in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. the scripture reads, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Notice verse 4 again. Paul states here, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now notice this is very important, because Paul is highlighting that he proved to be an apostle of God. It wasn't just in words, but he demonstrated. Paul didn't just talk it, he walked it. Paul proved to be an apostle of God. And the same way that Paul proved to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, the same way that Jesus proved to be the Son of God, through demonstration. It ain't just through words, it's by the things that you do. And the same way, it's not just through words and we call ourselves Christians, it's also the things that we do. But notice it, once again, we're back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now notice why he says, "I don't want you to be caught up in my speech and my preaching, because it's not with enticing words, but it's a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." But notice this, verse number 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Did you hear that? Paul did not want you to focus on the wisdom of men, but he wants you to focus more on the power of God. And what is the power of God? The power of God, it is the gospel. That's what Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul says, "I want your focus to be in the power of God. I want your focus to be in the gospel, and not in man's wisdom." So here it is. Paul proved to be an apostle. And as we go back to Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus proved to be the very Son of God by demonstration. So he was approved by God, and he proved to be the Son of God. Now as we continue on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, notice what the verse says. "Him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now, this verse is also important because it tells you about Jesus. What had happened to him? He was taken by wicked hands, and he was crucified. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, and we will begin our reading at verse 21. The scripture reads, "Then the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all people, and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, And they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. Verse 22, the latter part of that verse says, "Let him be crucified." Verse 23, the latter part of that verse says, "Let him be crucified." Verse 26, the latter part of that verse says, "It delivered him to be crucified." And verse 31, in the latter part of that verse, until they led him away to crucify him. Jesus was crucified. That's what Peter is talking about in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified. But thank God that's not the end of the story. When we go back to Acts chapter 2 and we look at in verse 24, the verse says, "Whom God has raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he will be holding of it." Let me tell you, in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus was approved by God. In verse 23, he was crucified by wicked hands. And in verse 24, even though he was crucified, he was raised again because death cannot hold him. And so he goes on in verse 25, you see there is a change in the subject. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, the scripture reads, "For David speaketh concerning him." So now you see that first he was talking about Jesus, the Christ, but now he is talking about David. Now watch this. In verse number 25 again, "For David speaketh concerning him." Who is him? Speaking of Christ. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. More will also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." And goes on in verse 29, he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch of David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus of God raised up, whereof we are all our witnesses." Now, there is a contrast between verses 29 and verse 1. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29, the scripture says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, his tomb, his grave is with us unto this day." Peter says here that David is dead and his grave is still with us today. Now, why is that important? Well, you have to understand that a king is a king as long as he is alive. As long as he is alive, he has the power. But when he dies, he has no power. And what Peter is doing, he's hiding the fact that David is dead, and therefore he has no power. There's no reason to go back to David to get authority because he has no power. And though what he's highlighted here on the contract here, but Jesus was dead, but he is alive, and guess what? And he has all power. Now notice this in verse number 31, talking about David seeing this before, speaks of the resurrection of Christ. What do you mean resurrection? That a person had to die, and then they had to raise him from the dead. This is Jesus. Jesus was resurrected. Once again, David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that Christ's soul was not left in the grave. That's what hell is there, Hades. Neither his flesh did see corruption. Then Jesus have God raised up. He was dead, but now he is alive. And the verse says, you know what? We're all witnesses. We've seen this for with our own eyes. And therefore, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says here, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. What do you mean that Jesus has the keys? He means that he has all authority. And he has all power. So watch this. In Matthew chapter 28, and the verse is 18, the scripture reads here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has all authority, and he has all power. As Peter is preaching, he is showing the difference between David and Jesus. See, David was a king, but Jesus is the king. David had power, but Jesus has all power. See, David died and is still dead, but Jesus died and God raised him up. As we continue on in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, that verse is very critical because he lets us know that same Jesus. He's not talking about some other Jesus, but that same Jesus. That same Jesus whom they did not believe. That same Jesus whom John called the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That same Jesus who gave sight to the blind, who made the lame to walk, and even raised the dead. That same Jesus whom God so loved the world that he gave him, and whosoever believes in him should not perish. That same Jesus whom they scourged, they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. That same Jesus whom they put on his head a crown of thorns, they mocked him and they even spit on him. That same Jesus whom they made carry his own cross. That same Jesus whom they nailed to the cross. That same Jesus who they put between two thieves. That same Jesus who said, I thirst, and they gave him vinegar mingled with gall. That same Jesus, when they took him up the cross, they put him in a tomb and rolled a stone in front of him. That same Jesus who rose again on the third day. That same Jesus who Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Paul says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That same Jesus and not another Jesus. It's important to understand that we're talking about that same Jesus. And now, as Peter is preaching to them, he says, I want the house of Israel to know that same Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. What do you mean, Lord? He's your master now. The same one you didn't want to believe, the same one you didn't want to listen to, is the same one you have to obey. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, Jesus says, not anyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, many people will call unto him and say, Lord, 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 Lord. But Jesus said, if you haven't been on my will, I never knew you. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. That's Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Now notice what Jesus says here. Jesus says here, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's more than just calling him Lord, Lord, but it's doing his will. And that's what Peter is highlighting. That same Jesus whom you crucified, that God has made him both Lord and Christ. He's going to be your master, and you got to obey his will. If you don't obey his will, you'll never make it into God's heaven. Not only is he our Lord, our master, but he is the Christ. What do you mean the Christ? He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the appointed one, the one that was sent by God, and we have to hear him. In Matthew chapter 17, and beginning at verse number 1, Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1, the scripture reads, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Guess what? Hear ye him. We got to listen to Jesus. You don't have to listen to Moses. You don't even have to listen to Elias, but you need to hear Jesus. Because Jesus is the King that once was dead, but now he's alive, and he has all power, and he is our Lord, and he is the Christ. And we have to listen to Jesus. And we have to hear, this is the message that Peter is teaching. As he states it, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore, all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, him both the Master and the Messiah. Now when we go down to verse number 37, the scripture reads, now when they heard this, they were pricked in heart. And it said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter had preached a powerful message. It was a pricking message. It was a message that made them realize that they were in the wrong. It was a message that realized that they were in sin. It was a message that made them realize that they had to get it right. And with that message preached, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do to get out of sin? Bible says in verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, some of you. No, he did not say that. But it said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of David. No, it doesn't say that. Why doesn't it say in the name of David? Because David was the king, but Jesus is the king. David has power. Once again, Jesus has all power. David has died, and he is dead even to this day. And Jesus has died, and he rose again on the third day. Therefore, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by in the name of Jesus Christ? By his authority. Jesus has all authority. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And he's the only one that has the authority to forgive you for your sin. And that's why Peter preached this message. This is why Peter says in verse 38 again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this wicked generation. I'm telling you today, that message that Peter preached can still save somebody today if they follow it and obey it as it is. You don't have to add to it, and you don't have to take away from it. And I love verse 41. Notice the scripture. The scripture says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, notice when they were baptized. The scripture says, and the same day. That is very important. When a person wants to obey the word of God, they want to be baptized the same day. That's what the scripture says. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You don't have to wait till the second Sunday. You don't have to wait until the fourth Sunday. You're baptized the same day. That's the message of Peter. If there's anyone this very night that want to obey the word of God, we can help you with that. How do you obey the word of God? Well, the first thing you have to do, you have to hear the word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, says, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And then the Bible says that you also got to believe the word of God. You got to believe Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 24, the latter part of that verse, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And then after you have to believe, you have to repent of your sins. Turn away from that which is wrong and turn to that which is right. That's called repentance. That's what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When they asked him, what shall we do? He says, repent. And Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus says, repent. And Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5, Jesus says, repent. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, Paul says, repent. And then after you repent of your sins, then you got to confess Jesus as the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then after you confess Jesus Christ, then you are allowed to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Then also we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized. Also we see in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And then when you obey him according to his word and you are added to a safe place, he called it his church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. They didn't join the church. They were added to the church. Who added them? The Lord added them to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If there's anybody who wants to obey the word of God, we can help you with that.
Thank you for your time, and I now turn it back over to our dear brother, Brother Tommy Brooks.